Josh.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Blur.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Blur.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Blur.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Blur.
A couple of more wiggles. A couple of more wiggles.
Yeah, that's right. We're back. Wiggle Room for episode number 7. Final Wiggle Room of the pre-merge of season 39. The final pre-merge of the decade here with the great Josh Wiggler.
Wait a second. Hold on. I just had a thought.
Yes?
Dead air doesn't really translate as a great joke on a podcast. I was going to really stretch that out for like 10 seconds. I was like going to look around. Like I had like this very like pained look on my face of coming up with a great brainchild, but just it's an audio medium and it doesn't really connect.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Josh.
I'll put my shirt down too, because that's not really connecting either for the podcast audience. So I'm fully clothed now and ready to talk to you about Island of the Idols.
Okay. Yeah. So here we are. You've thrown me off with that imagery.
Yeah. Well, focus up, buddy. Okay. We got to talk about the
eyes
end of
here.
The pre-emerge.
Yes.
Eyes up here.
Yes.
Eyes up here. We are walking away from the pre-merge into not just the final pre-merge of the decade, we're entering the final merge of the decade. When you framed it like that, I was like, oh my goodness, Survivor entering the 2020s with this very strong season. I like it.
Yeah. So far, so good. And so we'll talk about everything that's going on. Josh, speaking of 2020, with a look ahead here for one moment, because just to put it on everybody's calendar, be sure to circle February 12th, 2020.
Wow.
So
wow.
Just go ahead.
What's happening on that day? It seems like a special occasion.
Very, very special occasion, Josh Wiggler, and I'm so glad that you asked. But February 12th, 2020 is the 10-year anniversary of Rob as a podcast.
Yeah.
10 years after the very first episode of Rob as a podcast was posted on February 12th, 2010.
Wanda.
Yeah. Amazing.
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 Wow.
Yeah, I believe that's also a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday, just a random Wednesday, just a very casual 10-year anniversary of RHA. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I had already put something on my calendar from earlier. Rob, are you telling me that the 10-year anniversary of Rob has a podcast, February 12th, 2020, is the same date as the Survivor Season 40 premiere? What? What?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No, they must have planned it that way.
Did you plan this? Did you and Jeff coordinate behind my back?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, that's so exciting. Oh my gosh, we got to get commemorative shirts.
Yeah. No, it's
special edition wombat hats.
Such a big day. Such a big day coming up on February 12th, 2020. So be on the lookout for that. But okay, let's get back to the task at hand here.
That's very exciting.
2019.
That's very exciting.
And of course, a lot to do here, not just in 2019, but today here in the Wiggle Room, because Josh and I are going to go through everything that Josh is thinking about Survivor. We've got a wand off coming up. And then this week in Survivor, later in this very same podcast, Kirsten McInnes was going to join us to talk about what's going on. And then we will get into Jordan Kalish's quiz with a pinch quizzer for Kirsten McInnes. So a lot to still come in this podcast.
Okay. Sounds like we got a lot going on here today. Let's waste no more further ados.
Mm-hmm.
And let's ado this thing.
Yeah. Well, Josh, you had a big scoop today on the Survivor beat, because I was very excited to see that you had an interview with none other than the great Nora Salmon.
I was... Nora, yes, this was exciting. This was great. I've been deep down the mines of a couple of different TV shows this fall TV season, keeping Jan Wiggler rather busy over these past several weeks, and I feel like I have been shirking my Survivor duties as of late, and with great apologies to the fantastic members of the Island of the Idols cast, who I have been neglecting from time to time here, but I really felt like we couldn't escape the pre-merge without at least one active player interview, and I was very, very delighted when I got the thumbs up that I'd be able to have a quick chat with your friend and mine, the great Nora of Island of the Idols fame, of so many laughs. The caller that never was, the shot caller that never was, and she was a delight. And that interview is up right now, thr.com/survivor, where she weighs in on a bunch of stuff. She weighs in on how her expectations of Survivor, as somebody who wasn't a huge Survivor person coming into this, how they measured up against reality. She gives some behind the scoop intel on her visit with Rob and Sandra and why things maybe didn't work quite as well as she wanted them to. Apparently a conflict of approaches, according to Nora. She said, do you want to hear what she said as for why she wasn't able to properly utilize the lessons she learned on IOI to become the shot caller for Vokaioi?
Yes, of course.
I asked her about it, and she says, I think what people need to realize with the visit to Rob and Sandra is that they are villains, and that is not my personality. I am more of the hero-heroine role, so it was actually hard for me to take advice from villains. When they gave me the various options of persuading my tribe, all of these were villain approaches. I didn't feel comfortable executing because they are simply not me or my style. You can see the distinction when I said heart/heroine and Rob said ego/villain. Nora continues and goes on to say, if I'd had the opportunity to do this again, I would have candidly told my group that I know the details of tomorrow's challenge, and if I get the most important role in that challenge, I will get a block of vote advantage. If I don't get that role, I will lose my vote, which will be detrimental to our tribe in the event of a swap. We will not have the numbers. That's what she wishes she had done instead. She says it was an expensive lesson to learn early on, but from this moment moving forward, Nora says, I know that I'm going to play the Nora way with truth and honesty versus lying and backstabbing. So lots of similar pearls of wisdom in this great interview with Nora that I was so thrilled to conduct.
Yeah, it seems like that people are learning a lot of hard lessons at the Island of the Idols.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a tough school. You go out to Survivor and you expect to learn things, and you expect some measure of tomfoolery, but I don't think you expect to have to sit through class.
Yeah.
And actually like pass tests.
Yeah,
that's the name of the game this year.
Josh, I was able to get a quick clip of Nora when you asked her if she would do the interview with you for THR this week.
Yes.
It sounds cool. Why not? Yeah, of course I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty close. And it was before I'd even finished making the request. I was like, hey, Nora, it's Josh Wiggler from The Hollywood Reporter. How are you doing today?
And it
was
just,
Yeah, it is. It's me. It's Josh. It's like I told you. I'm exactly who I said I am.
Okay. All right. Josh, of course.
I love Nora. I'm so happy. I need to take a second here and say I was very confused and surprised when Jack was voted out and announced as the first member of the jury. That really threw me off. I did not expect that at all. I'm typically not a huge fan of there being people on the jury who haven't had the chance to interact with other people people still in the game. Like, there's four people still in the game that he's just never going to get the chance to meet. I don't love that. But then that was quickly mitigated by the realization that Nora will either be on the jury or in contention to win the $1 million. Mm-hmm. And like, everything was forgiven immediately. We have made it to that point, at least, that Nora is here for the long haul. Nora will have Ponderosa videos. Like, this is the greatest timeline that we are living in.
Okay. Yeah. Good point. Good point. That has not been brought up on any of the podcasts yet. So that, good thinking.
That sounds facetious. That sounds facetious.
No, it's not. It is not.
It literally hasn't been brought up yet.
Okay. No.
A little behind. Yeah. A little behind. I listened to the cast interview. The cast interview was great.
Yeah. Cast was great. And, Sierra was also, really great to,
I just started with Sierra earlier in the day before we got on. It seemed like that was going into a fantastic direction.
Okay. Josh, so we're talking about the move this week. Did you have any thoughts about what Kelly pulled off at this week's Tribal Council?
It was a lot. It was a lot. And don't get me wrong, big Kelly fan. I love Kelly. I think that Kelly has been excellent television, and I love that she's thinking big and dreaming big. And there's a lot about the plan that I do like. I kind of feel like maybe she should have just cast the vote for Jack herself. I think maybe you keep this a two-person operation. You give Dean the idol. You let Dean snake his way into the merge. If it's very important for you to break up the Jack and Jamal pair, you bring Dean in with you to the merge. You give him that idol. That's fine. It stirs the pot. Ha, ha, ha. And makes everything all crazy. Yes. Stir the pot. incredible. It does all of that, and that's fantastic. But now I think, like, she entrusted Nora with a piece of this plan. And I hope that it goes without saying at this point that I am a huge Nora fan.
Right.
I adore Nora. I am very much. But I don't know that, like, she's the person to rope into this top secret plan. This is the person who couldn't, stop dancing even though Footloose rules were implemented back at Vokai. So I think if Kelly wanted to pull this off, I think she should have just thrown the vote at Jack. Then everyone's like, who was that extra vote for Jack? She just stays quiet on it. No one's owning up to it. I don't know that people are necessarily thinking that it's Kelly who did it. Like, maybe it's Karishma. People like are now like starting to alienate her further, or who knows? Like, it just arouses more suspicion. Or you just stay the company line and you get Dean out of there. But I guess for her, she feels like she's got a really good connection with him. He seems like somebody who's kind of adrift in the game. You can bring him to the merge. Maybe he becomes a loyal person that you can use in other ways down the line. That idol is effectively worthless. There are enough of these people going to IOI and participating in these games that maybe Kelly can surmise that there are other people who have these like combustible idols. This idol will self-destruct in five tribals, you know, type of deal. That like she can't even really bluff effectively with it, maybe, like even just having it as an artifact. Maybe that move is a little less useful on a season like this when enough people know that there's expiration dates in play. So I don't hate the move overall. I just think it was overly complicated.
And then just in conjunction with your interview with Nora, where it sounds like that her interview with you, she said, hey, the lesson I learned at the Island of the Idols is that I need to be truthful and not be deceptive. And I'm not going to make Nora World a place where people lie. I have to tell the truth about what's going on. So under, questioning, I don't think she's going to cover for Kelly in any way, shape or form when she gets that question of like, wait, why did you vote for Jack? Like, oh, Kelly told me to.
Yeah, and I also think that it's an interesting person to pull into something like this when Kelly herself has already observed in the past when Nora came back from IOI and was like, okay, so this is what's going to happen. The cool thing happens if you let me pick the position that I'm in. If you let me pick whatever role I want,
right,
and it's a unanimous decision, then we all get to practice the challenge and I get to tell you the stuff. And Kelly's like, wow, this is a terrible lie, but the good news is she's so caught deep in the lie that everybody knows it, and that's the conversation, and it's not even like the lie about what IOI is. That's what, no one's concerned about that. So Kelly had observed that already, and she's entrusting Nora with this move to take out Jack in a very complicated way. So I don't love that. I for Kelly, I love that for my experience as a television viewer. I think whatever is going to come from this is going to be fantastic. I think that Nora is one of those people that you like, you overrate their ability to toe the company line at your own expense. And I think that that's great for us, but I think that that could be bad for Kelly in the long haul.
Josh, before we start to head towards the wand off, merge time is coming. Wide open merge. I am expecting two people to go home in a double episode on Wednesday. You up for a quick merge draft?
Ooh,
merge
boot draft? I love a merge boot draft. Yeah, this is always fun. Yeah, let's do it. What do we want to do? Snake draft, three versus three v three? Yes. You want to do a 3v3?
3v3, snake draft. And basically, you got two bites at the apple. At the Applebee's.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
We're looking for that. A person that could go home. You could win 1-0, could be a tie, could win a 2-0. If it's a tie, whoever picked the person who went home first.
Okay.
That's the winner.
All right, I like this. How do you want to go? How do you want to launch into it?
You want the first pick or you want the next two?
I'll take the first pick.
Okay.
I'll take the first pick because I
feel strong.
I feel like it's going to be hard for this person to survive the merge. It's a two episode merge. It's a 2 hour merge. You assume that two people are going home. Lyro is just down in numbers, original Lyro, in a way where I don't think the game is quite shaken up to the point where, it's possible that it'll be like a Vokai and a Lyro goes home. But at the very least, one Lyro will go home. I'd be really surprised if that's not the case. And I think that after some wishy-washiness at the current Vokai, after playing both sides of the line, after being very afraid of their own, kind of like challenge beast threat level status that perhaps they project, I think somebody who may have alienated himself with too many people to survive the early merge, because this is somebody who typically gets eyed at this point, I'm going to take my buddy with the cool socks, Aaron Meredith. I feel like, you know, once upon a time, this is sort of like your classic merge boot. Maybe things are shifting these days, but I think with one pick overall, I'll just start here. I think starting with Aaron, I feel like with two shots in this episode, two people who can go home, feel pretty good about Aaron being one of them.
Okay.
Which would bum me out, because I've enjoyed Aaron a lot on screen. I think he's a good storyteller. I like that he's willing to play sort of seismically. He's not playing safely. I don't know if it's great Survivor, but it's really good TV. And I love those socks. But I think if he is to be voted out soon, then at the very least, he ends up fueling a really great sake wand off at some point in the not too distant future.
Sake wand off? Is that like when you go to the karaoke bar where they serve sake? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you drink sake. It's a little smelly, but the decor, the aesthetics are great.
Okay. Josh, I'm going to go with my first pick, a man who this past Wednesday night, he had a little something-something.
I think I got a little something-something.
Mm.
Now, you would think that people are like, well, Dean doesn't have an idol now. He is one of the Lyro guys. You know, he voted out Jack at the last vote, which I think kind of blew up his spot a little bit in terms of, like, was he sort of ingratiating himself to the people with the new Vokai, even though they were going to vote for him there. So they were planning on voting for him. He seems expendable to just about everybody except for Kelly. So give me Dean with my first pick.
I think it's a good pick. I almost went with Dean myself. I think there's the reason to get rid of him is also the reason to ignore him right now for me, which is like he's set adrift on memory bliss right now. You know, he's all on his own.
Dean.
You know, he's Detective Dean. Inspector Kowalski is off on his own path now. You know,
right
now. Yes, exactly. Dean, it's real. Baby bear. So I don't know. I feel like there's reasons to kind of just ignore Dean. He doesn't have strong ties to the old Lyro. He was just targeted by the new Lyro. But that also could just mean he's a very agreeable person to vote out early. He's somebody that seems a little bit physical. I don't know that he's quite as nerve-wracking to me as some of the other players in the game on that level. But I think the upshot, if Dean goes in this 2-hour episode, Reddit will be heartbroken. Reddit has really taken a shine to Dean. But the upshot will be, you got to imagine, we'll get our first like Ponderosa noir episode. And like maybe like our first black and white Ponderosa video. So I'm here for that.
Okay. All right. Third pick overall, my second here in the snake draft. I feel like that Jamal is somebody who could be on the outs, that I think that, you know, again, I think that I would look at the guys, not to say women's alliance, but I do feel like that at least the Lyra women are saying, okay, who are the men that are expendable? And Jamal is, you know, not part of that. And I feel like that he lost a very close ally in Jack. And I could see him as somebody who is potentially outside of the inner circle over at Vokai. So I could see Jamal being a person who goes home in the double.
Man, I hope not. I was really sad to see Jack go, first of all. I that really broke my heart, but I was so happy once I watched his Ponderosa video where he was like the sweetest human being on the planet. He's like, I can't wait to welcome everybody in with open arms and be like the happy-go-lucky mayor of Ponderosa. You'll love to see it. So I'm really glad that he made the jury, but I was so sad to see Jack and Jamal broken up. Jamal is now Sans' idol. He has just made an idol play. He has made an incorrect idol play publicly. And I think if old Vokai is fractured and if old Vokai feels like they are in a place of such security that they can shed a little bit of the numbers that they had in the past, then maybe Jamal is somebody that they would look to get rid of here. They've not always been on the same page with him. He was excluded from the Molly vote at the start of the season. This has all just gone down here at current Lyro. I don't think that Jamal is a bad pick. I don't think that I would have picked him, but I think that he's of the Vokai, of the original Vokai. I think he would be very high, if not number one, on my list of people that I'd be concerned about moving into the merge this week.
Okay, Josh, two in a row.
All right, two in a row. I really, really like her a lot, obviously, and I've been hyping her since the preseason. I think that she is more than decently dope. I think she's super dope. But I think that Missy is also somebody who has been like the high commander of the Lyro crew. Like, I think that she's been one of the most obvious strategic players on the board, for better and for worse. And I think that she is certainly worthy of that title. I think that she's somebody who's thinking about the game a lot. I get the sense that a lot of people think that she's thinking about the game, which I don't know if is a good thing for her or not. I think that she's somebody who is talented enough that I could see her like going on an immunity run. I can see her building up enough of a coalition that she's able to survive this first vote or two at the start of the merge. But if there's like a major anti-Lyro sentiment, I could see Missy getting targeted quickly because she's very aggressive, and maybe you don't want to leave her on the board for too long because she's somebody that could be dangerous enough to rally something and shore stuff up. And there are these, you know, three ex-Vokai people, or I guess they're still Vokai people, but you've got who's there, Tommy, Dan, and Lauren, who've now all been on the other end of like being like somewhat betrayed by Missy. It's like, for similar reasons that I'm picking Aaron, I think I'm picking Missy here as my second person. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong about all. I hope nobody goes home at the merge.
Goes home at the merge?
Obviously, like, that's not true. Yeah. Obviously, that's not true. But I really do love this cast. There's, you know, one or two, but like, you know, for the most part, I'm really, really happy with who we're at the merge with. And, you know, most permutations moving forward, I'm going to be pretty pleased with. But I'll take Missy here just because I think that there is a decent shot, a decently dope shot that she could find herself targeted.
Just looking at the numbers. So we're going into this merge 7-6 with original Lyro and I'm sorry, a 7 original Vokai, 6 original Lyro. But the 6 is also a very fractured 6.
Like, exactly.
The four people that voted together, and then also Dean and Karishma, who may, either of them might flip. Even if the four that went to New Vokai stick together, either one could end up, you know, voting with Vokai for one reason or another against people from their original tribe. So Yeah, maybe the Jamal pick was a bad one.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just don't have a great enough sense yet, and we'll figure it out very quickly into this next episode of like just how broken down the original tribal lines are. Because I think on current Lyro, you do get the sense that people are ready to make moves. It wasn't like an overwhelming vote against Jack. It required a very convoluted move to get him out of there. But Dean was down with that. Kelly was obviously down with it, even if she didn't cast the vote. And Nora was in on it as well. And Nora apparently hates Jamal, which is not the worst thing in the world, apparently. Mm-hmm. And you should feel happy that I hate you instead of being indifferent to you. The logic there is interesting, but let's go with it. So like already, like there's that valve is loosened, you know? So I wonder what happens when the Greater Vokai gets back together. You got to imagine a lot of questions about what the hell happened to Jack. Jack is, I think, just from what I had examined of the times that I'd gotten to talk to Jack and what I got to observe from camp life with Jack being there, I would imagine that Jack was a deeply loved figure out there. And I think that people are going to be like very surprised that he is the one person who's not showing up at this merge. So depending on like the fallout from that, I think could be really interesting. A lot of filibustering. Let me make this pick. I've really been putting it off because I just don't know where to go. And I don't feel great about the pick, but I do feel like I should take an original Vokai just to even things out. Oh, man. I'll take Tommy. I'm going to take Tommy. I know popular sentiment is like Tommy doing good. Tommy's going far. Oof. Tommy's doing great. But there was like this whole segment of like the, like Tommy's trying to throw Dan under the bus, but maybe him trying to throw Dan under the bus is throwing himself under the bus because people now think that he's shady, shady Sheehan. So I feel like, you know, Tommy's another one who like in an older era of Survivor, maybe is somebody who goes around this spot. I don't feel great about the pick. I feel like this is a little bit of a wasted spot, but I'm just kind of panicked and I don't really know who to choose. So yeah. I'm going with Tommy.
Okay. I'm really torn between two people here with the last pick. And I guess I feel maybe a little bit better about one person, but I'm going to go with, you know, I've planted my flag all week that I thought Kelly made a bad move. So let me vote Kelly. I was really hoping to be Kelly or Elaine. I could see Elaine.
I was thinking about Elaine. Elaine was where I almost went.
In terms of that, just when I look at the numbers where you have 7 Vokai people, and I don't know who on Vokai is super tight with Elaine. She had that advantage. She played it at the tribal council. You also have Dean, who's not super loyal to Elaine, and he could be another person that could flip over to Vokai. But I came out so hard against the Kelly move. Now I love the execution, don't get me wrong, but in terms of the success of it working, I have my doubts. So I'll say Kelly just to plant my flag and be consistent with my takes.
Do you want to each pick somebody who we say absolutely not, this person is not safe going home, so that if they do go home, we look like the biggest of idiots?
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So
pick first because you just went with Kelly. Yes.
Okay. Who is the safest? And I would be the biggest of idiots if they went home. I would say
you would be a moron and an idiot if this person went home.
A moron and an idiot if they went home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How about Janet?
Oh, man, I was going to take Janet.
Yeah.
That was like the whole thesis behind this. Yeah, I think Janet's going to be fine. I think if you're a big Janet fan, I feel like there's no reason that Janet is going to be in trouble. Why would anyone get rid of Janet right now? She's spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
She seems like she hasn't wronged anybody. There's bigger fish to fry right now. And that's probably to everybody's foolhardiness. Because Janet will outrace everybody in the grand scheme of things. But I feel like Janet is, you know, she's made it this far. Very exciting that Janet has made it this far. And I think that she's had, she's played with the 3 C's. And I think that she's gonna, cooler heads are gonna prevail. And I think that she's gonna make it out of the merge episode.
Okay. Who else? Who else is guaranteed safe?
Man, I was still filibustering. Who's guaranteed safe. Okay, you know who I think I feel like we may they've been positioned as rivals throughout the series thus far. So let's just get them both in the water. I'll take Beisel. Give me Elizabeth. Elizabeth is safe. I feel like Elizabeth is going to swim away from the merge episode and she's going to be A-okay. I think that Lyro could be in danger. OG Lyro could be in danger. But I think Elizabeth kind of plays similarly to Janet, not just in the fact that they are both professional swimmers, but the fact that they're both kind of straight shooters. I don't think that there's any indication that Elizabeth has been playing any other way than above board. And I feel like right now at the merge, I like her position unless she's like somebody to target because they think that she's like kind of like a safety person to target. Mm-hmm. That's what makes me a little bit nervous. But otherwise, I feel like she's going to be okay. So I would have preferred Janet, but I'll take Beisel as a backup.
Okay. All right. So that's what we're going to be watching out for on Wednesday night. Josh, before we go to the wand off, and let me just take a moment and thank a sponsor on this episode of the podcast. Those are friends over at Sharper Image who bring you the Common Comfort weighted blanket. Now, Josh, did you notice this week what Missy said when she was talking about why they needed to vote out Tommy this week? This is what she said about why they needed to vote out Tommy.
If Tommy is gone, Lauren has already been upset that she doesn't have a comfort blanket.
Lauren is not going to have a comfort blanket if Tommy is gone because Missy knows how great the Common Comfort weighted blanket is because the weighted blanket is the luxurious item that helps you relax so you can fall asleep and stay asleep naturally. Common Comfort is designed with a high density comfort fill to provide the right amount of weight to help relax your body. It's made with a super soft velveteen material so you can have a more restful sleep.
Wow. The velveteen blanket.
Yeah. When you're under the blanket, you'll have the feeling of being swaddled, which is as soothing for adults as it is for children. You could sleep better, feel great, and stress less. It's a great way to get the perfect night's sleep. This is weighted blanket season right now, Josh. So when it's cold outside, get under this weighted blanket like the first lady of podcasting likes to do, and it's lights out.
Yeah, I've never used a weighted blanket before, and it feels like it's very much my jam. I like it when Emily crushes me. I like when she like lies down on top of me. I feel very soothed.
Stay
like
it's just it.
Yeah, I always enjoyed that, but I've never gone with the weighted blanket, and this feels like something I should do. It feels like it's very in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, my wife swears by it. She has it. We have it out. She is gonna wrap herself in that thing like a burrito, and she. knocks her out for the night. The Common Comfort weighted blanket makes a great gift as well this time of year. Sleep better, feel great, and stress less. The Common Comfort weighted blanket comes with a 90-day anxiety-free, stress-free, best night's sleep of your life.
Wow.
From Sharper Image. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to commoncomfortblanket.com, use promo code Rob at checkout to get $15 off the displayed price. Again, that's commoncomfortblanket.com, promo code Rob. And because you can't put a price tag on a great night's sleep, go online at commoncomfortblanket.com. Use promo code Rob for your special discount today. Josh, one of the things I had done this week to prepare for my interviews with Cass and Sierra was that I went back and I started watching some Survivor Second Chances.
Yeah, and you imagined how Nora would have fit alongside the witches' coven.
Oh, no. I was just, I had so much fun going back that it was starting to get me hyped.
I know. Yes, yes. I know what you're saying.
TOS 4.
Yes, yes. Oh, my God. It's going to be the best. I had a very similar experience last year when I went back and watched Survivor Second Chance for the first time. I was already starting to formulate the gags for the second chance chapter of TEOS. I feel like a lot of them write themselves. It's going to be a good time when we get to this in 10 years.
And every time Steven Fishback was on the screen, I could not contain my laughter. This is dying. Every single thing Steven did.
Oh, my like, God.
That was so great. Do you remember him doing the ring toss, Josh?
I just remember the own goal.
Stop
I don't.
Right there. This is Wanda, and you're in my arena. If you need to, you can can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the one off. It's the one off forever if you need to. You can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice. You ought to know right now before you go any further. It's the one off. It'll be here forever.
I should let you finish that thought, though. So pick up where you were left off. I actually didn't want to hear that.
I just remember the own goal and the gastrointestinal distress, which, as I recall, was severe.
Yeah. The cell phone.
The moldy feet.
Yeah.
I recall that.
So great.
No, Cambodia gets a bum rap, I think, around
the DVD
certain
cover.
Corners.
Yeah.
At certain corners of the Survivor sphere, it gets a bum rap.
Right,
but I went back and I watched it, and at that point, like, at least like somewhat free of recency bias. You know, it wasn't the most recent All-Star season that I had seen at that point. Certainly holds up better than 34, I'll tell you that much. But a lot of gold in 31. And I think when we go back and revisit that, I'm very, very excited to do that. It launched me on like a little mini rewatch. I went from 31 through, I did go back through Game Changers. Coincidentally, that's where the rewatch stopped.
Interesting.
So I'm lightly prepped for whenever we do start digging into the evolution of strategy again.
All right, Josh, can I kick off the wand off with some happy news? And we have a birth in the family of the wand off that Corey B and Shelley have a new arrival. Wand off legend, Corey B.
That's amazing. Congratulations, Corey B. I would say if we hadn't already wished you a congratulations, because we already wished out all the happy birthdays earlier in the season.
But that was to people that are celebrating.
That currently existed. They hadn't. Yes. Oh, that's a good point.
Yes.
And I'm being very rude.
So I do think that Corey B and Shelley need to have more children to give out all the hats that they have.
Yeah.
They have more hats than heads at their house.
You need to have one for every hat. So yes. 23 kids. Don't stop until that's where you're at. No, congratulations to you both. It's fantastic, fantastic news. A birth in Wombat Nation.
Yes.
Spectacular news.
All right. Let's talk about the old business. That's how we always start this off. We need to talk about last week and what went on in the Wandoff voting. Of course, you could vote all week long. Rapiswebsite.com/votewanda. In third place last week, with 13.99% of the vote, Wandoff newcomers Tina Toner and DJ Derek with the Oopsie Doopsie.
Mm-hmm. Oopsie doopsie.
Yeah. I thought we had a little bit of an upset last week. I actually thought, okay, you know, I thought that this one was going to take it. In second place, 24.23% of the vote went to Alex G.
Wow.
For that block vote.
Wow. Survivor Philly's very own.
Yes.
Alex G.
Yes. And
putting out the Survivor Philadelphia.
Yes.
On your YouTube.
And of course, that Alex G. Yes. That it is coming this Friday, November 15th at 8 p.m. on YouTube. If you want to check out the Survivor Philly, new episodes will be released every 2 days. Wow. Breakneck pace.
Competitive with Survivor Phil T, Survivor Philly. But you know, there can never be enough Survivor Phils.
Yeah. All right. And Josh, so that begs the question, who did win the wand off last week? Who had 40.96% of the vote? Why, I could tell you that it is a wand off newcomer.
Ooh.
Named Mike from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
With Sesternino 2.0.
Who is this homie on my TV? Where have I seen this lad? He's from Long Island, he says, because he's got that nerdy swag.
Yeah. All right, there you go. There's Mike from Massachusetts.
Yeah, it was because of the bourgeois, obviously.
Yeah, you think so?
as we had enumerated last week. Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. Okay. That bourgeois will get you every time.
All right. So, Josh, let's talk about this past week of or the current episode of Survivor and talk about what the Wandoff artists came up with this week. Of course, everything is going to be on our Wandoff SoundCloud playlist available to the patrons of Rob's podcast. But here's the host of the Wandoff, the late, great Casey Kasem. Rob, it is a pleasure to be back here for this final pre-merge of the decade Wandoff.
Wow. I have to say, I'm surprised you did not bring any queso, considering Rob's previous comment about using a weighted blanket like a burrito. Is that a deep enough pull?
That is.
Does the weighted blanket tug this far?
That is such a deep pull that my feet are sticking out of the weighted blanket.
How did you get in there? Just apparated right into it.
Josh, let's get to this week's honorable mentions. We'll start with Jordan from Vancouver, who had a keen observation about what was going on in the new Lyro tribe. After the rain.
Jamal sucks at fire. Jamal sucks at fire. But Kelly can make the fire.
That was Alicia Keith Nail with a song that might soon be added to the We Didn't Start the Fire
or close
list.
We're just going to have a ban on all fire products. All fire hazards must be removed from the Wandoff. We're going to be picking our elements pretty soon.
New Wandoff rule. If they say the word fire in the song, we've probably gotten it before for a Wandoff that includes fire in the verse.
There's some exceptions. You know, follow your heart, which, of course, is another element, as per Captain Planet.
Next up here is Trevor with a song about the offer for Janet on the Island of the Idols.
Janet, do you want to play a challenge? You could win an advantage. It's called the safety without power. It really is quite freaking random. We'll play a game of chance. Those are so fun to watch. But you could lose your vote. Do you want to play a game? It'll get you more TV time. No? Okay, bye.
That was a beautiful song from Kirsten Alex Bell from the movie Frozen. What were you going to say?
No, I wasn't going to say anything other than I thought it was beautiful.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I loved it.
I know how you love pick a rock out of the bag, Josh. That's one of your favorites. Yeah.
Big fan of pick a rock out of a bag in challenge form. Mm-hmm. I think more challenges should just be pick a rock out of a bag. That's a fierce take that I will. I did not submit for the most recent renap, but it is one that I feel deeply. Yeah. Yes, always, always. How's that Arnold Palmer tree?
Great, great.
Cooling you down on a hot, hot winter's day.
Josh, next up, here's Jason Lee with a song about the person who put together this week's unlikely pair.
Hey, hey, Dean, Dean, I know your ex-girlfriend. No way, no way. We went to school at Wharton. Hey, hey, Dean, Dean, yeah, I know your ex-girlfriend. Hey, hey, Dean, Dean, let's form an alliance. No way, no way, it's gotta be a secret. Hey, hey, Dean, Dean, cause I know your ex-girlfriend. Detective Dean, you're so good at investigations. The two of us could have a great collaboration. But everybody else on Lyra wants you gone tonight.
Gone tonight.
Gone tonight.
Gone tonight.
Gone tonight.
Gone tonight.
This dilemma's causing me so much frustration. But oh my god, I just had some inspiration. I'll give you my idol so that you can play it tonight.
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 they're like, this will be so easy. We'll all vote for Dean Kowalski. I think you should play my idol now. It was gonna expire anyhow. Hey, hey, Dean D, I know your ex-girlfriend. No way, no way. No, I don't mean Chelsea. Hey, hey, Dean D, I mean your college girlfriend.
Too soon.
That was from the artist Avril Lavigne.
That was good. Well done,
Josh. Oh, our man. Final honorable mention is something that we don't normally do. We don't normally traffic in conspiracy theories here in the Wiggle Room.
No. Typically not. You save that also for Renap with your friend and mine, the great Antonio in the Sky.
But Robin from Rochester is here, and she's got a conspiracy theory about this week's most recently voted off castaway.
Okay, not to go into wild conjecture, but buckle your seatbelts. Things are about to get weird. Moment of inspiration? I couldn't put my finger on it in the pregame. Something about Jack gave me deja vu, but not the same. His personality familiar and yet altered. Something didn't seem quite right. Wait! San Juan del Sur came out in 2014. A pair of brothers with long hair graced our TV screens. Some said if Drew wasn't his brother, Alec wouldn't be. Disrespectful, gross, cocky, rude. Oh my gosh! A fan must have taken it upon themselves to change that. Rob and Josh. Someone went back in time and they stole the little Alec babe away. I know I sound deranged. My theory's pretty strange. But you've talked time travel in the past, so I'll bring it anyway. It's really a dude named Alec Christie. From an alternate timeline that was kidnapped as a baby. And raised by his parents so he could respect the lady. And act more like Davey. Oh, he said sorry to Jamal and learned about his privilege. Oh, he let Kelly start the fire, voted out, but made the jury anyway.
Wow.
That was from the crew Panic at the Disco Wrong.
The Disco. Yeah.
Do you buy that? That Jack is actually... No, he's actually Alec Christie, or he's a third Christie brother?
Well, my understanding of the theory as it was projected upon us via song...
From Robin from Rochester
is that the Survivor casting team went back in time and plucked Alec Christie from when he was a baby to place him.
But he was raised in a different way.
In a different dimension.
Yeah.
So that it worked out better.
Well, I think just so he was, more respectful of people.
More
receptive. Try to learn to be better. Stuff like that.
Yeah, I think I'm in.
You're in.
I think so.
All right, I didn't really see the resemblance, but we'll have to go back and
I'm just going to go ahead and say I'm into it. And I feel it, and I like it, and I don't see any reason why we shouldn't sign on for the theory. I'll say that I'm also currently making like the Alec Christie jury face right now because I'm a little shocked by all of this news.
These guys
on the ground. Sorry, Jeremy. We'll move on to the top five now.
Yeah, not sure if you're talking about the Christie brothers or us.
It's us. Okay. It's us. It's always been.
Josh, we're ready for the top five songs here in Wombats Nation. To get things started, here's the pairing of Aaron Robertson and Jordan Kalish.
All right.
Talking about Kelly's move.
Oh my God, I just had a moment of inspiration.
Use this idol for protection and your powers of detection.
Detective Dean Kowalski.
Because we have this connection. If you do this, we will vote Jack out. Nora, you are crazy, and the strategy is hazy. But let's pull some for Gazy. You must vote, Jack. Don't get idled out. Kelly pulling off a blindside. Acting skills of tribal council freaking bona fide. Don't teach that at Harvard or Wharton, but she's more satisfied than Tom Laidlaw at Tim Hortons. Idols are proud, she's mastered the art of persuasion. Speaking out, shaking up with carbonation. You're making Jamal and Jack look foolish, but who am I to judge? This was written by D. Schoolish.
Yes. Yes.
That was from the newer works of the artist Kanye West Nail.
Mm-hmm. Is that how the new Kanye sounds?
I believe so.
All right. Okay.
At least according to Aaron Robertson and D. Schoolish.
Some like digital kazoo. I don't know.
Next up, there are some listeners that were not thrilled that Jack was going to be a member of the jury. But Adam B. and Craig L. are not some of those people. That was from the Eagles Rock Montana, home of Survivor contestant Randy Bailey during the time of Survivor Dubbo. Not much for the Eagles. Yeah, Casey, that was lame. That was really, I mean, come on.
Casey, I mean, you're trying.
What are we paying you for?
We're paying Casey? We're paying him?
Josh, it's rude to ask me that on the air.
I'm not talking to you. I've got questions for Rob about the direction of the money, the resources.
Are you kidding me? I carry this podcast.
You're a ghost. What do you need money for?
I'm a being just like you.
Maybe I'm being harsh.
Yeah, Josh, lay off Casey Kasem. Come on.
Ghosts have to make an after living after all as well. Sorry.
Josh, even though you said I don't bring much value to the podcast.
That's not exactly what I said.
I'm going to keep going with the number three song in Wombats Nation, put together by the duo of Michael Clark and Laura E.D., all about... Oh, a former fling of the great Detective Kowalski.
Dean's ex-girlfriend isn't on the show.
We don't know her. Doesn't matter though. Could she is friends with Kelly. Kind of seems like casting, second guessing all their background checks, brother.
It could be worse, though. At least these two don't actually know each other.
It could be like in Samoa back when Gollum met and Laura went to church with Brett.
Or in H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-
Sally. Dean's ex-girlfriend is an NPC. She has more friends
than 90s NBC.
We still have yet to learn her name, but she's Scrooge Bin of the game.
That was the artist Boston Robin with that song. If I mean, was Dean's ex-girlfriend, I think I'd be like all over Twitter of like, I did that. This was me this week. I put this together.
Yeah, if this was Bradley Kleige's ex-girlfriend at the very least.
So I was saying that she was so vocal. I feel like that Kelly's friend slash Dean's ex-girlfriend is keeping such a low profile.
It's funny because Kleige's girlfriend also works really well as a substitute lyric for Call Your Girlfriend, the parody. Mm-hmm. Also, I think my issue with the line about having more friends than NBC did in the 1990s, it's really only six
low bar.
Friends.
Yeah,
right?
Low bar. Yeah. I mean,
more than six. You just need a seventh friend.
Right.
Josh, plus factoring Gunther into the equation.
No, nobody was his friend. Josh, the number four song in Wombat's Nation comes to us by a familiar duo with a new member of the trio.
Ooh,
it's Dave from Ohio with Becky and Taylor.
Wow.
Talking about Janet's return from the Island of the Idols.
My stomach is doing flip-flops. Everything's crawling up in my throat because going to the Island of the Idols has put a target on people's backs. And I did not want that to happen to me. I'm sitting in a good spot. Oh, man. Huge target on your back.
Target on Janet's back.
It's the IOI. Uh-huh. Here come the IOI.
Target on Janet's back.
The Island of Idols is something she fears. She's leaving the beach, her face covered in tears. But when she gets to shore, who does she see? Sandra Diaz-Twine, Queen Stays Queen. Next to Sandra on the shore, a guy from Boston with a little bee hat on. He makes her an offer for some safety, but she don't need that. She's such a smart lady. She says in her tribe she established some trust. She'll establish some more by revealing her bust. She made her decision, now she's sailing back. It's a loot in her tribe with an amazing rack.
The tribe saw Janet's rack. Survivor's next contender. The tribe saw Janet's rack.
What a rack,
it's something they'll remember.
So right there it tells me that her longevity in this game, she's got the makings of a winner.
Wow.
That was the great Will Wall Smith.
That's a funny mental picture. I was getting into it with a friend of mine recently who swore up and down, straight-facedly, fully, full-heartedly believes, without question, this is a take that he has, and he will not back down from it and will not hear any reason or arguments to the contrary, that Will Smith is indisputably the greatest rapper of all time.
Yeah.
This was my friend's take. I would like it, if it's possible, to add a question to the poll this week.
The census? Oh.
Yes. Yes. It's a yes or no.
Yeah.
Is Will Smith the greatest rapper of all time? Yes or no? Let's get official Wombat Nation data.
Well, let me add some fuel to this, because I think you can make the case that he is, because he makes it sound so easy. Because if you're not Will Smith, it could turn out like.
Here come Men in Black. Won't let you remember. All right, check it. Let me tell you this in closing. Although it might seem imposing, trust me, if we ever show in your section, believe me, it's for your own protection. Because we see things that you need not see, and we see places that you need not be. So go with your love, look at the Roswell crap, show love to the black suit, because that's the man in, that's the man in. Here come the man in black, here they come, let's see the
See? You think that's easy?
Is this from another show that you had that so quickly on standby? What is that from? Is there a joke I'm missing?
Yeah. Short answer is yes. Yeah.
So I was going to say there was no edit time that happened as quickly in the actual playing of events as it happened as you listened to it. There was no stopping.
It's a popular song right now.
There was no stopping down. You just played it. All right, so I'm out. Everyone else is in. That was mesmerizing. All right, no need for the question. Will Smith is obviously the greatest rapper of all time.
But Josh, back to the content that caters to you specifically. Here is last week's winner of the Wand Off, going for two in a row. Here is Mike from Massachusetts talking about the lesson taught on the Island of the Idols.
Hey!
Janet's out with Rob and Sandra. She's scared. She's scared. It's a game of calculated risk. Beware. Beware. It's got big impact. Here comes the flashback to when Rick fails. Woo! Wait a minute. He's not even out there. Woo! Why must we relive the time that Rick fails? Devin's making fire, but the stranger burns much higher. I thought the game was his to win, but Rick fails. Woohoo! Making all the hardcore fans so sick there. Woohoo! There's so many things you could have picked there. Woohoo! Like patch flowing finals reunity, or Natalie voting for Alec. No, I'd rather have Janet flash me than watch Rick fail. Woohoo!
It's the worst moment of my entire life.
That was the theme to Duck Taylor Stalker. Amazingly, Alec Christie is mentioned twice, two or times in the Wand Off today.
Yeah.
Amazing. And, shout out to Rick Devins, who was such a great sport.
Great sport.
Was,
it didn't even come
great
up until
on the know-it-alls this week.
But, took a while before it even came up. It's
yeah, but that's look that you ask for things and the Wand Off artists deliver, Josh.
It's true. It's true. Except that I've asked for one more glycerine and that didn't come through yet. But
the glycerine dried up.
Yes. Yes. Still time to pluck the fruit from that low hanging bush.
Yeah. All right. All right.
It's so, a phrase. Yeah,
no, I don't know. I don't think it is. All right, Josh Wiggler, that of course, that we could not do the Wand Off without the help of the great Randy Neupel, who uploads all of your submissions to the Wand Off SoundCloud playlist available to patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, or without the help of Jason Curtis Rivera, who puts together all of the music videos. Josh, even though you said I shouldn't get paid for the Wand Off, I will see you next time. Keep your feet on the ground and keep your hands on the table, because screw up everything Josh Wiggler is doing.
Wow.
All right. Now you've done it, Josh.
Wow, he's feuding with me.
We had a couple of good weeks with him, and now you set him off.
Yeah, this isn't going to go great. I don't feud well. you know, you start feuding with me, and really
yeah,
what I just do is
start burning
like,
one of your hats next.
Yeah, but then my move is really I just ignore it.
Yeah, freeze him.
Like I get uncomfortable and I don't like
That's
it.
Smart.
Yeah, I just move on.
Yeah,
I like go deep into like my anxiety hidey hole and just pretend it doesn't exist. I was just like, oh, if I ignore it for long enough, then it'll go away. Yeah. Hit mute forever.
I'm like that with a lot of things.
I'm like that with a lot of things. A lot of things. And it's not that he should get paid. I just don't think maybe he should be making money.
What do you want to pay him with?
I don't know. He like seems to like
records?
Nacho cheese.
Yeah.
Get him some more Applebee's queso. Okay. Unlimited queso. That's fine.
Unlimited queso would be a lot of queso. All right, Josh. I know you're so busy with everything that you're doing, not just Survivor, but what else do you have going on right now?
It's lots of stuff. Watchmen. We're 4 weeks into Watchmen.
I'm only 2 weeks in.
All right, no spoilies.
Don't spoil the next two episodes for me right now.
No spoilies for you right now.
Okay.
But Watchmen is underway on HBO. My coverage is underway at thr.com/Watchmen, and that includes weekly podcast coverage over at the series regular podcast on The Hollywood Reporter with myself and Antonio Mazzaro, breaking down each and every week of Watchmen in copious amounts of detail. Antonio and I are also podcasting about Mr. Robot. We have our next episode of the podcast coming your way later this week, recording a little later than usual, so plenty of time to get feedback in. If you've got questions about this final season of Mr. Robot, now's the time. Special feedback show is how we're going to handle this one. Jessica Lease and I will be recording our Walking Dead podcast on Tuesday night. So we are 6 episodes in. Rob, people are excited.
I've run into a problem. I've run into a roadblock.
An issue.
Yes, like when Negan put up all those roadblocks for...
all right, back up the van. Back it up.
I don't have AMC right now. I don't have. I changed my cable. I don't have AMC. So if somebody really wants me to come on, I need a login for somebody's AMC to watch The Walking Dead.
Somebody hook poor Rob up with a.
I don't have it on my. I'm a cord cutter, and you can't buy AMC.
There's no
like
AMC
a la carte.
Anywhere. No.
I can like buy the season on iTunes or something, but that seems.
But why would you do that? gotta be another way. There will be another way.
I'm just saying. I need help.
Walking Dead's good right now.
They're keeping me from it.
They're keeping you from it, but Walking Dead's good right now. So if you out there have AMC access and you are watching Walking Dead,
Somebody help me.
Jess and I are podcasting about it every week over at Post Show Recaps. Very, very fun stuff. So that's going to record on Tuesday night. And then Mike Bloom and I, we have Down the Hatch continuing. We are up to the Harold Perrineau flashback special. Literally, it's called Special. Starring Harold Perrineau as Michael Dawson. We're going to finally find out more about Walt. And by find out more about Walt, I mean just a little bit of information that they don't really ever fully pay off in any kind of huge way. Mm-hmm. But that podcast has been a weekly
the huge
delay.
Way of that Walt is going to be 7 feet tall.
Yeah, he's literally becomes a huge, gigantic
a huge
human
way.
Being. Yes, 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 yes. So that's all happening on Post Show Recaps. Go listen if you are not subscribed already. Tons of podcasting happening over there.
All right. Josh, great job once again. I would love to say happy Veterans Day to all of our veterans
yes,
and families of veterans that are listening to the podcast. And of course, I hear from people from time to time who are serving or, you know, have served and they listen to the podcast. And so I really appreciate that. And thank you for your service to all of our veterans that are listening to the show. And Josh, we'll be back next time.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
All right. And let's do a little bit of a twish.
Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week? Survivor.
Yeah, that's the sweet sound of Will from America singing the theme song to this week in Survivor, and the man who joins me every week to talk about everything going on and give us the This Week in Survivor history quiz. Please welcome back the great Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
Doing well, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Finally got our second win of the season there. I was actually at the game with the great Akiva Winokur, who is a big fan of joke answers for Choice D.
Okay. All right. So, Jordan, we are very lucky this week because we are joined by a woman who actually joined me for a podcast with the aforementioned Akiva Winokur this week. And some are saying it was the best podcast they ever listened to. Here she is from the Love Island Rehap Up, Big Brother Canada 6, and more. Of course, it's the great Kirsten McInnes. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. How are you?
Yes, and also the Riverdale recap over on Kowski Cast.
That's Cow with a K.
That's right.
You have to say it.
Okay, but hey, this isn't Kowski Cast, but we are going to be testing you on the facts here today.
Except no, because I'm not doing the test.
almost made that work.
Yes. Why is it Kowski? If it's both of you, how come your name doesn't get in there?
Okay, let's stick to we. Yeah. Look, we're hemorrhaging listeners. All right, we gotta stick. Let's stick with Survivor for one minute at least. Okay, all right.
No, that's impossible.
Yes, Kirsten, happy to have you here with us. So the barrier to getting you here with us was that you said, hey, I would do the podcast, but I'm anti-quiz. So we will have a pinch quizzer joining us later on in the show for the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think Jordan Kalish actually is the first person who saw any potential in me as a podcaster other than you. He messaged me originally about the This Week in Survivor History quiz many moons ago. According to my Facebook Messenger, 5 days after I was not voted into Big Brother Canada to ask me onto the quiz. So
strike while the iron is hot.
Exactly. I had only done, I think, 2 podcasts at that time. And now here I am. And this is not even the only podcast I'm recording today. So Jordan really saw that coming.
Okay. Nice job, Jordan.
Well, as a teacher, I always like to be an inspiration to people. And Kirsten, I am happy that I can be the person who started off your career. Yeah, I take no credit for that.
Regular Ron Clark. But Kirsten, you were a part of the Hot Takeoff, which has been received very well. Very rare to have back-to-back Renap episodes that are received well. So congratulations and thank you for your helping to make that possible.
You're welcome, first of all, because it was a lot of work, but thank you for including me in it, because I don't think I've ever had more fun recording a podcast than I did on that one. It was giggles central for everybody involved, and I think you guys are going to have a hard time coming up with the third one after the Master Napper and then the Hot Trilogy. Takeoff.
Okay. All right. So since we're mentioning hot takes, so Kirsten, and I'll open this to Jordan to not put all the pressure on you. Do we have any hot takes about Survivor 39 in terms of Survivor hot takes?
Oh, it's so hard because then you have to go into the definition of a hot take and all that. But I would say that my strongest take about this season is that it is very fun to watch the episodes, but then trying to think about it outside of them is very complicated and annoying.
So you're talking about the gameplay.
Yeah, it's just like every episode when I'm watching it, I'm enjoying it. But then I find that I have a hard time getting into the mode of thinking about it in between, where it's just so frenetic, and which is fun, but then it's confusing and hard to predict.
Yeah. Jordan, you have any hot takes about the season?
I would say my hottest take right now, and it's, you know, this Kelly's move to give Dean the idol and to get Jack out of the game has been spoken about on a lot of podcasts this week. And I think while everyone agrees that it was very exciting and it was great TV, it may have been a little bit short-sighted. My hot take is I think it was actually a really good move.
Okay, good. Kirsten, were you thumbs up or thumbs down on Kelly's move?
Well, it was incredible and masterfully done, but I just worry that at this point in the game that things are not going to work out as well for her. Like, it's basically made from the idea of, well, if I give this idol to Dean and save him, he'll owe me something. And I think we've seen over the years that that's not necessarily the case. People don't really owe you things in these shows, and I think it might come back to bite her.
Okay, so let me hear Dee Schoolish, that I haven't heard anybody really say that they love it in terms terms of moving forward. So make the case.
So I do understand that it's risky, and I do understand that if Dean were to say, were to tell people that she was the one who gave him the idol, it could come back to bite her in the butt. But I don't think that's going to happen. And the reason I don't think that is going to happen, who is Dean going to? I mean, he clearly, the people, the Vokais that are on his tribe right now wanted him out. They all voted for him. And is he going to go back to his old Lyro team members who he wasn't really closely aligned with? I don't think so. So I think that in his mind, his closest ally in the game right now is Kelly, who just saved his ass. And I have a hard time seeing him turning around on her. I mean, I think maybe, you know, if we go further down the road and it's a situation where maybe he kind of sees a path to the end without Kelly, I could see him pulling something off. Where he maybe tells people that she was the one who gave him the idol at this point. But at that point, it might be a little bit too late and it might not matter. So I think that actually Kelly might be in the clear. And I understand that Jack did say in his exit interview that he was maybe a little bit skeptical of Kelly, and he thought that maybe she had something to do with him going out of the game. But if no one else feels that way, I mean, he's gone. He can't tell people that until, you know, we get to the if Kelly's at the end and, you know, he's on the jury, obviously. But I really think that it's the kind of thing where Kelly now is potentially part of a very strong alliance with some of her old Vokai tribe members, like Janet. She's going to be able to, I think, link up with Tommy and Lauren now that they're going to merge. And she now has Dean potentially in her back pocket if she ever did need to turn on one of her allies, or it ever got to the point where it's just her alliance left plus a couple stragglers. She can use him as a number. So I really like the move by Kelly. I don't think it's necessarily just a case of big move-itis. I think it's something that could help her long-term in the game, not just short term.
Kirsten, is Jordan convincing you at all?
I mean, I hope he's right because I love Kelly, but I think there's also the Nora factor to consider, which could come back. Like, Kelly's the one who was talking to Nora about, you know, having an alternate vote, and I don't know that we can trust Nora not to say anything when she'll straight up at tribal council say, well, yeah, but I was thinking about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's just such a wild card.
She is a wild card, and I just wonder so much about the you know, the Janets and the Jamals asking a lot of pointed questions about how did this all come together, and maybe Kelly or Dean or Nora not having all the answers that are going to keep everybody like, oh, I guess, yeah, that was weird that Dean had an idol. All right, so let's not dwell on it too much.
But I mean, Jamal is also now someone who played an idol. And like, you know, if anyone asks Jamal where he got his idol, he may end up just saying, you know, I found it on the beach. So there are people in the game who know that there aren't just idols at the Island of the Idols. Mm-hmm. And I also think the fact that you break up Jamal and Jack, you get Jamal to flush his idol. That was a very, very tight pair in the game who might be able to pull in some of these free agents who are left. And now it's just Jamal kind of on his own without an idol. So I think it clearly weakens him.
Okay. It's been a fun week for Survivor Talk between some people defending the move, everybody agreeing it was great theater. And I really applaud Kelly making the move. I don't want to be the person to always be like, you know, because I get on Steven sometimes. He's always like, oh, that move was bad. That move was bad. So I don't want to be no fun Rob, but I feel like that. You know, it's Survivor is often not these flashy moves that happen, at least in the middle of the game. I feel like that more towards the end is when you want to make these kind of moves, Kirsten.
Yeah, I definitely agree on that front. But it's very exciting that we have players willing to make these moves, and it does make great television. So people should definitely continue with these crazy maneuvers. Yeah. And especially people like Kelly. Like, I love Kelly so much.
And once upon a time, Steven and I were both very famously wrong about Tony Vlachos and all the moves that he was making. So really, it comes down to, you know, what do we know? I want to talk about Janet a little bit. And Kirsten, that I thought that this hasn't gotten a ton of attention. I thought that Janet had a very curious move when she came back from the Island of the Idols, that she was, you know, coming back on the boat and saw her tribe and then pulled a pseudo Michaela with her tribe when she was returning to the beach.
They about to do some tatas today.
And Nora had said, yeah, oh, well, Janet showed us that she didn't have an idol. when she came back, but she's such a free spirit. I've never seen somebody, is that a move to disarm everybody? Hey, I don't have an idol.
Well, I think that what we're seeing is that nudity is beginning to play increasingly more and more a role in showing that you don't have any idols or advantages. So Jan is just right on board with that. I loved in that Nora quote, she's like, she's a free woman and a free spirit, and she likes to be naked, apparently.
Yeah.
It was iconic.
This is news. Yeah.
Because everyone's yelling, show us the idol, show us the idol. And she's like, I got nothing for you. And apparently that worked. Like, she didn't have to cry on the beach like Kelly did.
Well, Kristen, my other favorite part about that is that after she flashed everybody, the tribe was going nuts, but then she apologizes to the boat driver. She's like, sorry. Sorry, I don't know. Boat driver man, if you were ready for that. He's lucky he didn't crash the boat.
Honestly, he really is. I really liked also when the boatman originally came out. Jamal's like, now we got a little boatman. Like, so let's see what little boatman has to say.
Yeah. Jordan, Janet was also very upset to go to the Island of the Idols. She was crying, very emotional.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything that sets you apart from other members on the tribe can be scary, but she's really put herself in a good position where I think even if she had, you know, even if she decided to play the game and had gotten something and, you know, maybe shared it with some of her tribe members, I think she would have been fine. But I understand the kind of visceral reaction, like I am going to be set apart. I'm going to be away from my tribe for a little while. Anything could happen in that short period of time. But I think she's playing such a social and a very strategic game as well. And I agree with Boston Rob and Sander that she made the right move not to take what are they calling it? The safety without power, which is a stupid name.
Yes.
But, I mean, I think that I understand the visceral reaction, but I think that Janet would have, would have been fine, you know, coming back and just going back to her allies and, having been away from them. I think she's in a good spot.
Yeah, the safety without power advantage. That's a mouthful, to say the very least. Kirsten, I want to play you a voicemail that I didn't get to with Sierra, but maybe we could answer this question. This is from one of our listeners, Zach.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Sierra. It's Zach from Georgia. As I was watching the TV this week and I saw Janet be given the opportunity to compete for a safety without power advantage, I just had to sigh a little bit. These people make television for a living. How are they so bad at naming things? Safety without power? That's terrible. That's not catchy or punchy at all. Why not call it something like the peace out advantage, where you use it and you peace out of tribal council? Or they could honor like Jonathan Penner and call it the bye-bye advantage or something like that. Could you guys, I don't know, hold like some kind of advantage name rehab? Because block the vote's not great either. Block the vote and safety without power. Give them better names for me, please. Thank you.
Okay. Goodbye. Kirsten, can you help us rebrand the safety without power advantage?
I feel like after the peace out, what more is there? That's the pinnacle of naming advantages.
Yeah.
Like the bye-bye power, it's incredible.
The bye-bye power.
Yeah, if we have Penner's naming things on the show, I think we could get to an interesting spot. What about the screw you guys, I'm going home advantage?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Kirsten, do you think it's possible that Janet didn't take it because when you are including a like without power in the name of the event, this is a very powerful advantage. It's called safety without power. Like, why would I want any advantage that's called blank without power?
Yeah, it definitely has kind of that neutered sound to it. I also really like during this when Boston Rob is like, wow, Janet, you really understood this lesson on calculated risk. And it's like, obviously, he was preaching about calculated risk to a woman who already understands cost-benefit analysis. So it's like I don't think she learned it. I think she just knows she's in a good spot and already has that skill set.
Yeah. Well, I like that she like laid out the whole reason about, as you said, like, well, if I did this, then I would, you know, lose the trust of my allies if I had to use it. So I'm not going to do it. And then Rob is like, why? Like, I think it would make me a target after. And then he was like, you don't want to know why I'm smiling. But she, like, I thought she was like made it pretty clear why she wasn't taking it in the first place.
Yeah, it was definitely very clear. And the other thing is that, shouldn't Rob have tried to sweeten the deal there to try and get her to take it? I feel like at every other point, if someone's like, oh no, they're like, what about this? And then immediately make it like 100 times easier or the advantage more powerful. Mm-hmm. But this time she said no. And he's like, you passed the lesson. That was it. And it just was a little strange compared to some of the other IOI excursions.
Should Janet have said, I want safety with power, which is, I guess, basically just a hidden immunity idol at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she could have.
Like, I want to cast my vote. So I want to have power and then I just want to leave. So I can't be voted out. So she's just not there when the votes are read, but she still gets to cast a vote. So her allies are happy.
Yeah, I don't know what was on the table with this one, but maybe she just was supposed to turn down the offer. That's what the lesson is.
Yeah, but then she didn't get anything.
Yeah. Well, she got the lesson.
Oh my God.
She already had it. But
I feel like she didn't even get watermelon. Like, once she made the right decision, they should have at least given her some food.
Yeah, she got hosed.
Yeah, I love production giving them food.
Mm-hmm. You don't lie. You're being.
I just think
sarcastic.
It's weird that Nora's the only person that got it, and it seems like blatant favoritism.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe that was going to be part of the lesson and Nora just like accepted it so fast that it was like a prop, the watermelon in some way. Kristen, just in terms of the new name, what do you think about like, you're kind of like ghosting. Could you call it like a ghosting idol? Like, I'm going to disappear and then you're not going to hear from me.
But I feel like, what's it called when someone ghosts but then like pops back up in your life? Because she's going to be at the next tribal council, so... it's not like a full ghost.
Mm-hmm.
The half ghost.
it's a classic half ghost.
The half ghost.
Classic.
We'll give you a half ghost advantage. Like that. Spooky.
It's also not really ghosting because she would stand up and be like, hey guys, I gotta go. So it's like she's basically just playing with their emotions. Being like, I'm leaving. No, I'm back. Like, I hate you. No, I love you. It's very confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
maybe she should have negotiated it and been like, what if I don't have to go to any of the tribal councils, but then I get to be in the final three, and they could call it the Chris Underwood advantage.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, that is the best example of calculated risk, Deese. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, Chris Underwood played a great last 6 days of Survivor. Not to take anything away from him.
Okay, let me get a. Let me get you to weigh in on another slight conspiracy theory from our listeners, or if not a conspiracy theory, at least a mystery. This comes to us from Darla in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Rob and Sierra. This is Darla from Pennsylvania. Did you happen to notice that Kelly wrote a small A in Dean's name when she voted for him at Tribal? Just something that caught my eye. I don't know. Alrighty, stay crushing it.
Okay. So thank you, Darla. So, Kirsten, I went back and I looked at this, and when Kelly votes for Dean, she writes, you know, capital D, capital E, lowercase a, capital N. Is there any significance to why she might be voting that way?
Now, what style of little a is it? Is it like... the one that's just like a
that little A.
Like, what kind of little A is it? I feel like this can mean something, but it depends on exactly what it looked like. Oh, I should have looked this up.
Yeah, so it was just a small A. Is it possible, Kirsten, that could be some code where he's like, well, how do I know what you're going to do? He's like, well, I'll vote when I vote for you. I'll put a small A in there. But why would he be obsessed with if she was going to vote for him or not?
Yeah, I feel like it could be something where she's like, yes, I'm going to vote for you, but I'm going to put in this special signal. It could be that maybe she doesn't like her uppercase A's.
Why would he question it? Why would he be like, hey, how do I know you're going to vote for me at this tribal council?
Because Detective Dean is on the case. Come on. He's going to look at all the clues. It could also be that that's maybe not how she normally writes. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to maybe frame Nora.
Why does Nora like left all caps and then one letter Maybe. Lowercase?
I don't know. It could be the thing where like they're all practicing how they write the alphabet out. Mm-hmm. And then Kelly's like, oh, I don't like my A's. Or it could be that she noticed Nora doesn't like her A's. So then she's trying to copy it.
But if she's trying to make it seem like she didn't vote for Dean, then isn't everyone going to assume that she voted for Jack? And that looks even worse for her. So I kind of think, you know, maybe it goes back to her, like her personal connection with Dean, where she knows his ex-girlfriend. Maybe it's some sort of like inside joke from like their town or something. I don't know.
Maybe the ex-girlfriend's name is like Denise, and she wanted to really highlight D-E-N for shout out Denise.
Huh. Or maybe it's
I feel
a
like
red
we're getting
herring.
Farther away. Yeah, we're getting farther away Could from the
if
truth.
If somebody
here.
Has a theory, if there are any Detective Kowalskis out there that could crack the case of
can this be serial season? Yeah. Like, is four next or five? What's the next season?
Nobody.
Yeah, this be the next
they
one.
I think it would be four if they did any more, but it would be a great premise for the season if they could somehow investigate why. Why did Kelly, in the midst of all of these machinations, why would she take the time to write simply one letter in a different way? Detective Dean could crack any case except this one. Why take all the trouble to write three letters, capital, but one? The very first letter in the alphabet, smaller. Find out.
The thing is we know that Dean will read into everything and he'll say, I know I didn't do it, mm-hmm. but yeah, I'm not sure if Kelly did it.
Eliminate himself. So.
A for Adnan.
All right, so all interesting theories. On a serious note, Kirsten, I would love to get your take on the conversation that came out of this tribal council about whether or not people, survivor players, should presuppose there are women's alliances, and how do they go about talking about women's alliances on the show.
Well, I think that Kelly made a great point of we don't necessarily really talk about men's alliances that much in the same way. There's somehow just this fear surrounding women's alliances. And I'm not sure if that comes down to like a societal thing where it's like, oh, there's all these, you know, women banding together and taking over. Or if it is like was also discussed, if it's kind of taking away the unique human element. I found it really interesting and strange, but it's also like, I personally don't feel like we live in a world yet where we can be like, oh yeah, we're just not going to consider gender at all, because it does play into things. And like, especially after having that really great discussion of microaggressions with Jack and Jamal. God, was that only last week? That was last week. I feel like there are those same kinds of things towards women. And we hear all the time about how being on Survivor kind of puts a woman back into more of a traditional role. So I think it's a complex issue. And the conversation around it also needs to be complex. I thought it was really interesting seeing Janet's perspective, because, you know, Janet is obviously older than the other women on the cast, and her experience is a little bit different. Like, I'm sure that she has a lot more experience in having to work a specific way to be successful with men. And I think that came out a lot in her points. It was just, it's a complicated issue, and I'm glad that they gave it a little bit of time to breathe, but I feel like there's more to it. Mm-hmm. Something that I noticed was that Kelly and Janet, and I think there was also another one, but I can't remember exactly who, they would make like a long point that was very good, and then they would apologize for either going too long, or Kelly said, sorry, I care about this. And that, to me, just kind of put a point on it of like, we do still have kind of a long way to go. Because you don't really see the men apologizing for making a point at tribal council.
Yeah, you don't need to undercut it or hashtag sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. All right, Jordan, you got that?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Are you ready to talk about some social media from this week?
I am. And I've never been more ready. I believe collected by Alex Rubino, who I ran into on the train today.
Oh, yes. How is he doing?
Well, he's a Giants fan, so not great.
Okay.
All right. It was good to see him. I've run into Alex Rubino at so many different like sporting events, mainly Yankee games, but this was the first time after a Jets-Giants game.
Okay. All right. Keep us posted any place else you see him.
I think every from now on when we run into each other, we'll just like tweet out a picture.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear what Jacob Sager Weinstein has to say.
Tweets, baby, tweets.
Ooh, I just had a thought. Or not.
Tweets.
That really was a great confessional. I really did enjoy how that was presented as well, Kirsten.
Yeah, that was really great. I almost wish it had a little bit of that like Big Brother editing where they would do like some sort of visual effect as well. But it was incredible.
Yeah, the Big Brother version of that would be like, oh, my God, I just had this moment of inspiration, like cut to like Kelly, the tribe has spoken. That's like the editing trick they do of anybody, like somebody says they're going to do something good and then immediately like a thing blows up in their face.
Yeah, it's like, okay, guys, I'm doing really well in this competition. I'm out.
Okay. All right. I'm losing Jordan with the Big Brother talk.
No, I didn't.
Well,
he invited me, so
this is on him.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, Kirsten, did you notice that Queen Sandra had some wraps on her arms this week?
Yes, she didn't get to like pull Janet in for a hug like she normally does with everyone, and I was very worried about her.
Sandra explained on Twitter that I wasn't allowed to hug at Carbon 39. I had an allergic reaction from some branches I removed while building the shelter and ended up with horrible pus-filled blisters. Ugh. My arms were burning, swollen, and feverish. The doctors changed my bandages every single day for more than a week.
I still don't get, why are they having Boston Rob and Sandra live in the elements? I mean, they're not contestants. They're like just the small part of the show where like people come to visit them every once in a while. Why can't they live either at Ponderosa or in like in a room? Like, I get it's Survivor, but they're not playing Survivor. Why can't they be like in a room with good food, comfortable bed? And so, then like every couple of days they go out to the Island of the Idols and bring people into their snug.
From what I understand, I believe the answer to that question, again, and this is what is canon, is I think they wanted to. I think that's what the answer is. Kirsten, is that what your impression also?
Yeah, I feel like I've seen that out in the ether. It's just such a strange thing, but like they are, at least they aren't like living off of like meager rations of rice. They still have a little bit of energy and have some food. Mm-hmm. Did you see the secret scene where Boston Rob didn't want to like give her a fist bump? Like, he didn't want to touch her hand.
He pulled an Aaron. Didn't want to fist bump.
They're talking about it where he's like, what's going on with you? How are your hands? And then they like talk about it. And then she goes to like give him a fist bump.
So I purposely didn't watch this video because I heard it was really gross, but I will play.
Oh, it wasn't that gross.
Let me play a little bit of it and let's listen in.
Villains, game changers, but this right here, I was like, this is killing me. I'm 44 and Fiji's taking a toll on me.
We're not 25 anymore, that's for sure.
I'm not.
But hang in there.
Yeah, he won't.
You don't want to touch me?
I don't know if it's contagious or not.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Maybe we need to get Dan over there sleeping next to Sandra. Maybe that's how we get him to learn. Back off.
Yeah, well, then he'll just infect like the rest of the tribe when he starts touching them.
Could get worse, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like if he wasn't going to get the message from when he was talked about it, literally in the first 3 days, I don't know that someone talking to him about it is going to make him understand boundaries. Mm-hmm. Seems like that's just not something he's got.
Doesn't seem like it. Kirsten, do you have any thoughts on what needs to happen with the situation?
Well, he needs to listen and he needs to back off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just like, it's not just like a one time thing where he like was mistaken and then someone talked to him and he was like, oh, I see the error of my ways. It seems like he has like a pattern of inappropriate behavior happening out there. And like, I'm sure he doesn't mean anything by it. But if you're making the people around you uncomfortable, you gotta stop.
Right. In a game, in a social game where you're trying to win $1 million, like you feel like that, like, I got to be able to pick up not even on hints, but if people are like outright like, hey, this is, uncomfortable, you would think that we could do better with that, Dan.
Yeah, you'd think that you'd be like hypersensitive of the effects of everything that you're doing on the people around you. And maybe if something's not working great for you, like when you're, I guess, cuddling with people when they don't want to cuddle, you'd think that you'd be like, oh, hey, people are recoiling from my touch. Maybe I should stop touching them.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this week, at Kelly_Kim said, literally, my heart is beating so fast watching this. And I know what happens. #Survivor. So it was that tense.
Well, I mean, it was a big moment for her. I feel like when you relive those moments, you're gonna have a reaction.
Okay. Chelsea Walker said Jack was robbed of a spot on the pre-merge trip. Yeah, could have been a fun adventure. So who was this pre-merge crew, if we were going to just do the Frail Mary fan fiction real quick? So it was Ronnie. Then Molly, Chelsea, mm-hmm. Jason, and Vince. I feel like that was a pretty fun crew.
That seems like a fun crew. However, I mean, look, if you go on Survivor, and you know, obviously the goal is always to win, but I think you'd rather be on the jury, even if you don't make the merge, than go on the trip.
Sure, but I think you want like a fun group. If you have to go on the trip, and you know, my trip was myself, the late great Rudy Bosch, Richard Hatch, and Tina, and it wasn't exactly a party crew, Kirsten.
Oh, really? I'm shocked to hear that.
Believe it or not, you know, the biggest drinker that was there with me was Rudy.
Oh. Yeah, probably because he had to deal with you all day.
No. You know, that was the worst part, was talking to Rob. I don't even know what podcasting is, and I hope I never find out.
I mean, you said that you were going specifically out of your way to needle him, which I know, feel but like he is not
he loved
fun.
It. He enjoyed it. I wasn't making fun.
How come they didn't send like Eason and Colby with you guys?
It was an issue with the Richard and Sue of it all. They could not be in the same place. So they ended up splitting up our group. But she actually ended up doing her own thing. And then Richard ended up leaving also. So they could have sent her. I mean, she would have been. I would love to have Sue around.
Yeah, I feel like I'm wondering how they planned out who was going with who on that one. That's it's an interesting result came out of that.
Right. And then also it was that we were sort of, you know, well-known people who were, you know, they felt like there was more danger of detection with the bigger group of, you know, because they take you out in public and stuff like that. So to have, some really famous people like Rich and Rudy and Tina, and then also to, you know, to add more famous people like Ethan and Jerry and Colby, then they felt like that the danger of detection was starting to get very high, so they split us up into smaller groups, which also less fun.
We get it, Rob. You're a big time huge celebrity, big man in the Survivor.
No, Rob's going out of his way to be like there was famous people and not listing himself, because I think he knows that he's about to get roasted.
Survivor Hall of Famer, Rob Cesternino. He's up there.
No, I think I'm pretty incognito. I will say that there was like two or three times that I got recognized in Argentina, but I am not like I think I'm pretty incognito. I can go out in public, even at the height of my Survivor popularity. I wasn't being harassed on the street the way that I'm sure people like Richard Hatch and Rudy and Tina and Ethan and you know, Colby and Jerry were.
And that's incognito is in like you don't stand out. Not incognito is in you like bully your teammates.
Yeah, I have to be at a like a sanctioned survivor event for people to then still say, is that Jason? Is that Jason Linden's here?
No, I thought he looked like Fishback.
He acts like Fishback.
He acts like Fishback, but looks more like Robin. Yeah. I think he sounds like you. I think the voice sounds like a lot like yours.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he looks like Mr. Sheffield from The Nanny.
Okay.
Gary Sheffield?
I've been saying that this entire season, so.
Kirsten, your favorite Rick Devens tweeted this week. He was shown depicted losing in the Final Four Fire Making Challenge. He tweeted a picture. He wrote, Becca, get in here. They're showing my season. Oh, wait a second. And a picture of him with the hashtag awkward.
Yeah, I mean, at least he has a good sense of humor about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that could be, like, at least he didn't let it, like, emotionally devastate him. That would have really ruined the know-it-alls this week.
Devastate him. Yeah, that's right. So, Aurora tweeted out, she said, Sandra, looking like the new Rocky, hashtag Survivor 39. Anthony! Yeah. Do they, Rocky from Survivor Fiji, Jordan?
Yeah, it was definitely referring to Rocky from Survivor Fiji, because everyone with great detail remembers the pre-merge of that season.
And TEOS of it. So she also tweeted Aurora about a random centipede makes an appearance. I call him Fred, hashtag Survivor 39. Kirsten, did you spot the giant worm that was on Jack's head?
No, I didn't. And I'm really glad I didn't, because I would have had to just turn off my TV, because that is traumatizing for me.
Jordan, is that the kiss of death? Is that like a Survivor curse where they don't really talk about the island gods too much, like where, oh, you've upset the island gods and you get voted out. But like if a giant insect crawls on you at a tribal council, is that typically an omen that you're going home?
I mean, I guess we go all the way back to season one, where the survivor gods would put out the torch of the person who was getting voted out before it actually happened. So maybe the worm on or centipede or whatever it was on Jack's buff was the new manifestation of the survivor gods telling us who's going home. But I will say I did not catch it on my first viewing. I saw some pictures on Twitter afterwards, and then obviously since I knew about it, I saw it crawling around in my second viewing, and I'm surprised. Like, it feels like even though he had the buff between the worm and himself, it seems like he would have like felt it.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like crawling around. It has, you know, however many feet, just like crawling around your head.
I think 100. I think 100.
I don't know. Maybe it was this little buddy.
Well, is it a centipede or a millipede? How many centipede is 100 feet. Oh. Millipede, I guess, is more.
Yeah, I don't know. We need to know if we have an entomologist out there.
1,000? Well, mill is 1,000, right?
Yeah. Like, I think first we need to diagnose what the bug was.
Dos mil is 2,000 in Spanish?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like maybe he just had so many worms crawling on him that he didn't notice anymore. Ew. I don't know. Or maybe he's a Westworld robot.
If it's a worm, it would have no feet. So maybe if it were a worm, he wouldn't feel it. But if it were a centipede or a millipede, he would.
Okay.
I don't know, but like if it was a little snake, you'd feel it, and they don't have any feet.
Well, worms basically, I mean, I know they're not reptiles, but they are sort of like little snakes.
Are they animals?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Adam
people
Klein,
are animals
Adam
too.
Adam Klein, the great Adam Klein, tweeted all caps: Survivor is the best show on television. That was one of the most amazing hours of TV I've ever seen. Real, raw, powerful. A fitting tribute to the life of Rudy Bosch, who helped start these conversations 20 years ago. So Adam Klein giving a standing ovation to Survivor this week.
I felt like he was right here with me. Wow.
Hannah, a fellow finalist with Adam in Millennials versus Gen X. Boy, you know, Jordan, I feel like that Survivor really missed it. They almost had it with Millennials versus Boomers. What did they get Gen X involved with that? I mean,
I don't know why they felt like they had to like manufacture this this war between two generations that I think usually are at least on a similar page. But yeah, the Boomers versus Millennials, that would be enormous. Maybe that's going to be season 41.
Yeah.
No way. Boomers versus Gen Z is coming.
Boomers versus Gen Z. Okay. Wow. So now we're going really, really young and then really the older casting. So, yeah, that'd be wild.
I think
we
have to wait till the Gen Z grows up a little bit. I don't know if we want, like, what is Gen Z? Like, what's the cutoff? How old are Gen Z people right now?
Gen Z, I started in like 97. Like, I'm pretty sure Will Wall was technically a Gen Z when he played.
Yeah. So, do we want like a tribe of Will Walls?
Sure, why not?
I mean, but I don't think everyone who's a Gen Z is like Will Wall.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Can't generalize. Like, we learned that this week on Survivor. You can't just generalize because someone's Gen Z.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could have passed for a millennial, so I feel like it's different.
Yeah. And he missed his chance to vote off Chris Hammonds and say, okay, boomer sooner.
Yeah, but Chris Hammonds not a boomer in that sense, only he is a Oklahoma graduate.
Yes. Okay. I'm borrowing a Mike Bloom joke because I had tweeted to him earlier that I want to do a podcast with him so I could use OK Bloomer on a podcast.
Well, now you've used it already, so it's not going to mean anything when you get that opportunity.
Yeah. I also...
He tries the jokes out on us first and then sees how we react, and then he'll use them with Mike Bloom.
I was also trying to workshop a parenting joke about how when you go to a kid, you have a birthday party for your kid, and then somebody comes, and then you have to go to that kid's birthday party. That's a kid pro quo.
Oh, no.
You have to. And that's why I tell Nicole, stop inviting people to birthday parties, because then we have to go to all these other birthday parties.
I mean, I feel like you should let your kids have the social life just because you don't like leaving the house.
Yeah, there's so many podcasts to do. Anyway, so Hannah said, I wonder if future Survivor players will use last night's strategy of having an ex-girlfriend in common. Smart. Yeah, I think she should have got the fishy. I really do. Dean's ex-girlfriend.
Do we know yet who did get the fishy?
No. How come Dean's ex-girlfriend isn't on Twitter? Like, remember when Bradley was on Survivor, Kirsten? And then yes. There was, she's like, I'm Bradley's ex-girlfriend and I'm watching Survivor.
Why are you, was that the Adam Klein voice that you just used?
No. No.
Maybe they're from the same general region, okay?
I love Bradley.
I don't remember that, but I also wasn't super plugged in at that moment in time. Mm-hmm. So
okay, all right, if she's out there, you know, I want to follow.
Yeah,
I mean be careful what you wish for, Rob.
I want to follow. She doesn't have to follow me. I wasn't being demanding a follow from her.
Okay, well, you'll have to go looking for her.
Okay, you know who was really mad about this episode, Kirsten?
Who?
Alexis Maxwell.
Oh,
she
no,
tweeted all caps, why is Jack on the jury if he didn't make the merge? Nothing against Jack, but I begged to be on the jury when I was booted. LOL. I didn't want to leave the game. She didn't like that.
Yeah, it's a strange move. I feel like I've seen a lot of people out there saying, well, now that he's on, Robin Sandra definitely voting. Has this changed your view on that at all?
I don't know why it would, because it's like, okay, well, now if we have a million jury votes, then what's a few more from Rob and Sandra going to matter?
Well, it's because with them being on, doesn't it put it to 13 votes? So then it would be not possible to split on three people.
I mean, unless you're doing a final two, it doesn't matter if you have a non-member jury.
I mean, you could split.
And I doubt with a 13 person merge that they're going to do a final two. I mean, you got to assume they're doing final three.
It could be 6-6-1.
Maybe they just really liked having the jumbo jury for Edge of Extinction. And they're like, well, we'll make it extra big this time.
Yeah, I feel like 11 or 13 doesn't matter at all for jury numbers in terms of the math. So I don't know.
And I don't love Jack being, and nothing against Jack. I don't love somebody who hasn't played with every person in the game being on the jury. I mean, it's happened before and I'm not usually a fan of it. It would pale in comparison to how mad I'll be, though, if Rob and Sandra get a vote as non-players.
Okay.
Well, get ready to be mad.
Randy Bailey said, I was born at night, but not last night. Was not clever or funny or original 16 years ago when Boston Rob said it. And it's not clever or funny or original today. I didn't know. Boston Rob was doing a callback of himself. Is that one of his catchphrases, Jordan?
Not that I know of. I mean, I guess it's possible. But like, that's not really a Boston Rob quote. That's something that people say.
Okay.
Yeah, that's an existing quote, but he is right. It's not funny or original.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. What does it even mean?
They name the episode after it too.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it's like I'm not so naive that I was born last night, but to make it more interesting.
I was born in the morning, but not yesterday morning.
I feel like I've heard someone say that once and it didn't have the same gravitas.
It doesn't have the same ring to it. But look, I mean, I feel like I'm someone who was born at 12:31 p.m. And I feel like it's a phrase that someone like me who was born in the afternoon, shouldn't be using. I mean, it's not a great phrase anyway. And I don't maybe nobody should be using it because it's old at this point.
I was born in the morning, Jordan. Can I not say it? Do I have to lie to people? Why can't I say, hey, I was born in the morning, but not yesterday morning?
I mean, you can say it, but it just doesn't have the same impact.
I was born around lunch. I was born around lunchtime, but not yesterday's lunchtime.
Yeah. Hey, me too. I was born at 12:16 p.m.
Wow. 15 minutes before me, but I believe many years later.
I'm pretty sure a few years later and also on a different day.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like a fancy way of saying, like, I'm not a baby. I wasn't born yesterday.
Yeah. And you know what? Anyone who can say this phrase was definitely not born last night.
Yeah. Babies can't talk. Babies can't do anything.
Yes. When you started your sentence, we knew that you were not born last night.
And it's like babies can be fooled very easily. You can just play peekaboo and they think you're gone. So obviously you're not a baby.
Absolutely no object permanence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was born at night many years ago, not yesterday, for your information. I'm not
like
one day old,
many.
Idiot. Yeah.
It's like, what, you thought I was a little baby? A little infant? No, I was not born yesterday or even 6 months ago.
That would be a great final tribal council reveal where someone's like, look, I was not born last night. I am not really a baby. I know I've been lying to you this whole time. I told you I was a baby, but I am in fact an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It would be great if somebody did the big and said, you know, I have to reveal that I actually am a baby. I wish to be a grown up and now I'm here.
Yeah. Zoltan cast a wish on me. Is it Zoltan or Zoltar?
Yeah.
I forgot
his name. Yeah. You make a wish. Like you make a wish. He doesn't cast a wish on you.
Whatever. It's a baby genius and they're like, hi guys, I'm actually a year and a half. I know I told you I was not born last night, but it was close.
Okay. And then Jason Linden tweeted, I watched Survivor, I wasn't on it, bye.
Oh, I feel so bad for him.
And Julie Rosenberg said, hey, you never know when you'll see a flashback of yourself one day, bye.
Sure.
Because she was in the flashback, and Jason said, LOL, the flashback will be of me getting my vote blocked or not getting Aaron to pound me back.
Aw. Oh, poor that, Jason.
Yeah. Sad Jason. Okay. All right.
What a downer note to end that on.
Sorry. I also have a bunch of tweets from Shannon Gates, who was, I'm not sure if she was live tweeting or live tweeting when she was watching, but she had a bunch of great ones. She said, though, that she almost turned off the episode. She missed the whole task because the flashback to season 38 made her brain explode. But she did rally to say how Kelly picking the target, keeping a new ally in her pocket, still voting for Dean, flushing an idol, not feeling the need to take credit or spotlight, and being in the background as the unknown mastermind behind the puppets, my level of stand-up has reached critical levels. So Shannon Gates seemed to really applaud the Kelly move. So there's somebody else in your corner, Deese.
It's good.
Kelly's a baller.
A good person to have in your corner. Shannon Gates, arguably one of the biggest Survivor fans in the world.
The biggest. All right, let's get into the quiz this week. And we're joined on the line by a pinch quizzer here for Kirsten McInnes, or Kirsten McGinnis, as some say. And we are very excited to welcome in somebody.
Akiva says it with a G and people are mad about it.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
Okay. So we've introduced a new thing. We want to, you know, we don't want to lose great guests because they don't want to take the quiz. So we've added the option to much like the National National League that if you don't want, if, or I guess like the American League, Jordan, if people don't want to take the quiz, we're going to bring in a pinch quizzer. And here to help us out with the quiz, he is a man who is a self-proclaimed trivia whiz. He cannot be stumped when it comes to Survivor tribe names. Here he is, new patron, Andy. Andy, how are you?
Hello, hello. I'm super excited. The pinch quizzer idea is a super good one, and I'm excited to be the first one, pioneer.
Yes. Kirsten, Andy also, he is a big Survivor fan and got into Big Brother recently because of the podcast, and is currently now, he watched all of Big Brother 21 without any past Big Brother knowledge, and now has gone back and started binging Big Brother 1.
Mistake.
So I tried doing that a few years ago, and I think I watched like 50 episodes, and then I realized, Kirsten, what are you doing? This is bringing you no joy. There is no reason for this. Turn it off. And turning it off was the best decision I ever made. So I highly recommend just turn off Big Brother 1. Just
has anyone actually finished this season? I'm like 60 episodes in. I'm set to finish it just to tell you guys what happens.
No, it's Josh Wiggler says we're not allowed to talk about it. But so how many episodes have you been through?
So it's been about 58.
Yeah.
I'm actually super jet lagged right now. I just got back from a week-long trip to Manila, so I haven't really been watching, but I'm definitely going to finish and report
committed.
What I see. Yeah, I made a post on the Facebook group showing that Will Mega quote that was reminiscent of Jackson Mickey.
Yes, yes. He said, I'd rather die on my feet
than live on my knees. I always have trouble with that one. But yeah, some crazy stuff going on in BB1. Crazy stuff.
All right.
I feel cursed. Like being jet-lagged
like I told Rob, it's the cursed season.
Being jet-lagged is the right time to watch it, actually. Like, you'll feel like you're on another planet. You might find some enjoyment there. But again, just turn it off. Start season two.
Okay, so this is the way that the pinch quizzer is going to work. Okay, that Kirsten will still pick the categories. And that no consulting allowed. You'll have to just pick what you think Andy will be best at. And then Andy will give his recommendation for the answer. But that you have the final say, Kirsten.
And so when Andy destroys you, do I count as part of the winning team?
Yes.
So
yes.
I get some credit?
I'm putting your name on the scoreboard with Andrews.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I'm glad to be on Kirsten's team. The way that I looked at this is that I'm like Bronn from Game of Thrones. I'm a mercenary, and Kirsten's not in her trial by combat, but I am selected.
You
to
are
be
her champion. Yes.
Yeah.
So I love
all
this.
Kirsten fans can root for me to win this.
Okay.
Wow. This is incredible.
Andrew, I have a question for you. Were you born last night?
I was born at night, but not last night.
Hey-o.
Okay.
Good. So we don't have any babies on the call.
Not a baby. Good.
No babies.
Non-baby podcast.
Not a baby.
Four non-babies. It's amazing that we got us all together.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Jordan, what are the categories this week?
Okay. So the categories that we have for this week's quiz, we have subaquatic survivors, immunity assigners, Jack's Sunbay, and not so hidden immunity idols.
Okay. Kirsten, what category would you like to have Andy answer a question for you?
I watched The Genius. I know Sunday.
Okay. Andy, you know the rules also?
Yes, I do know the rules.
Okay.
I like when Jordan says them, but I don't need to hear
them.
Yeah,
we don't
have
that kind of time tonight.
We don't have time for the rules. Well, everyone knows the rules. If you're listening, and you'll figure the rules out if you don't know them. We're good.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, perfect. Well, I also watched The Genius, so we'll go with Jack Sunbay.
Jack Sunbay. Okay, so we are going to go to Survivor Cook Islands. On the last episode of Survivor Island of the Idols, Jack Nickthing joined the exclusive club of pre-mergers who made the jury. Who became the first jury member of Cook Islands, becoming an early member of this club?
Slam dunk. I know this.
Okay, who is it?
Oh, can I say it? I give you a recommendation.
You can say it if you don't want to hear the choices.
Okay, I know it. It's Brad.
Okay, so Kirsten, are you going to go with Andrew's answer?
Yeah, I trust Andrew. It's Brad.
It's Brad. Brad Virata is correct. Originally, when I was writing this question, I thought maybe he was the first person in this club. It's good I did my research, because it was actually Aaron from Thailand who made the fake merge, but not the real merge. Brad Virata was the second member of this club of people who did not make the merge but made the jury. And Andrew and Kirsten, you get 2 points. Good start.
It feels so good.
Yes. Rob, you have subaquatic survivors, immunity assigners, and not so hidden immunity idols. It seems like, was I going for like a rhyming thing and then gave up after two categories potentially?
Okay. I like when you're asking your own hypothetical questions. Okay. Yeah. I will go with, what was the last one about the idols?
Not so hidden immunity idols.
Sure. Not so hidden idols.
So we're going to go to Survivor Philippines. In what Jeff Probst called at the time the most complicated, entertaining tribal council ever, which two players pulled out idols, revealing them before the votes were even cast?
Okay.
And there was some confusion about a question from last week where of how many answers were there. This is specified. There are two answers to this question. You need to get both of them.
Okay. Could I hear the choices?
Yes. We have A, Abby Maria and Malcolm, B, Abby Maria and Penner, C, RC and Malcolm, D, RC and Penner. And you're going for 1 point now because you've heard the answers.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Could you just say the choices one more time?
Yep. Abby Maria and Malcolm, Abby Maria and Penner, RC and Malcolm, RC and Penner.
Okay. I'm going to say, was A, Abby and Malcolm?
A, Abby and Malcolm is, correct. Penner played his idol at the previous tribal council, so he didn't have one left at this point. So, this is, correct. You, it's the tribal council and where, Jeff Kent was voted out, and Rob, you get a point. So it's 2-1.
Piss on you if you were on fire.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite Penner quotes.
Yeah, that was from the roast, right?
No, he said it at a live No One Else.
Live No One. Okay, I knew it was a live event in LA that I missed because it was in California. Okay, so Kirsten, you get to.
Yeah, I mean, actually, he probably would. I mean, it's a very odd thing for anybody to do.
It's actually not what you should do if someone's on fire.
If you're a sadist, maybe.
Whatever happened to stop, drop, and roll? You know.
Yeah. Okay.
Kirsten, you have two categories left that you get to choose for Andrew. We have subaquatic survivors and we have immunity assigners.
Well,
you could go for either.
Okay. Thank you.
No hints.
Okay. Let's go with immunity assigners.
Okay, so we are going to go to Survivor Pearl Islands. After winning the first individual immunity challenge, who did Burton give the necklace to at Tribal Council, being that he was already immune due to returning as an outcast?
Ah. Can we talk this out?
Go for it. You can talk it out. Yep.
Kirsten,
so, Rob, just for a rule thing for the pinch quizzers, if... Can Kirsten choose to still go for one if they talk it out?
She can override,
She can override? Okay, so yeah, talk it out. And if Kirsten wants to hear the multiple choice options when it's time to answer, she definitely can.
Yeah, see, the problem with my memory is if I haven't seen it written down, I'm not going to remember it. So that's why I didn't want to do the quiz.
The only thing I remember is that the immunity necklace was a sword that season. So I have a visual memory of him passing it. But so this is the merge. I remember him having immunity for being an outcast, and then he would give it to someone else.
Do we want to hear the names?
We're probably going to need the choices, yeah.
Yeah, let's give us the names.
Okay, so we have A, Johnny Fairplay, B, Rupert, C, Sandra, D, Akiva Winokur.
Those joke answers are hilarious.
Yeah. I wonder if he likes joke answers joke. when he's the joke answer.
He doesn't listen.
I know. I did tell him that he was a joke answer.
You had an audience of one for that, and you picked the wrong person.
I know. Okay.
So he worked with Fairplay. I would just go maybe with that. Not how confident.
Like, how confident are you in that?
I'm a solid 3 out of 10.
You're 30%. What kind of pinch quizzer is this?
Oh, come on. Hey, I got Brad Virata right.
Yeah, that's true.
You should be more than 30%. There's only three real answers, so you should definitely be more than 30%. Yeah,
that's
at least be 30%.
33.33%.
Yeah,
I am.
Yeah, but or unless you're thinking, wait, was Akiva on that season?
Yeah, Akiva Winokur. He's a famous survivor. Definitely.
Okay,
on
so
Island.
it was Rupert, Sandra, or Fairplay. Let's go with Fairplay
or Akiva. Okay. Kirsten, do you want to go with Fairplay, or are you going to go with someone else?
Yeah, I'll follow Andrew anywhere, and we'll go with Fairplay.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so you followed Andrew on the last question. You were right. You followed him on this one. Unfortunately, you were incorrect. It was Rupert who was actually came in second place to Burton in that challenge, and Burton gave it to Rupert. So you don't get any points there, and it is Rob's turn. If you get 2 points on this answer, you're going to go into the final round with a lead. We're going to subaquatic survivors. We're going to Survivor Thailand. The last immunity challenge before the real merge of Survivor Thailand was a competition to see who could last the longest underwater while breathing through a bamboo snorkel. Which player lasted the longest underwater, winning the challenge for their tribe?
Who lasted the longest? Can you just repeat the question one more time?
Sure. The last immunity challenge before the real merge of Survivor Thailand was a competition to see who could last the longest underwater while breathing through a bamboo snorkel. Which player lasted the longest underwater, winning the challenge for their tribe?
Let me hear the choices.
Sure. Was it A, Helen, B, Brian, C, Clay, D, Big Ted?
I'm torn between Helen and Brian. I know that Helen is a dive instructor, and I know she has experience in the water, so I'll say it was Helen.
Helen would have probably very good choice there based on her profession. Unfortunately, it was Brian who was the one who lasted the longest. So, professional dive master, I guess you don't really have to stay underwater that long. You just get to come up whenever you're ready. So it is 2-1. So Andrew and Kirsten have a lead going into the final round. So Andrew, when I met you at the latest Survivor Know It Alls, we talked a lot about different Survivor history. You gave me some very good yes. information on boot orders, and you were correct on everything. I checked. You seem to be very good with a lot of the pre-merge tribe names, which are the ones that I think that are probably easier to remember. And it's still not easy to remember. There've been a lot of tribes in Survivor history, but some of these these merge tribe names are not really spoken about too much on the season. I think they're a little bit harder to remember. So I am going to be quizzing you guys on some of those today. So I have, you're going to give me, actually Rob is going to give me a number from 1 through 7 to decide the order. I am going to give you the merge tribe name. You have to tell me the season. We're going to go through 4 of these. If we have a tie after 4, we will go to a tiebreaker, which will just it'll continue the game. And if one of you get a question wrong on this, the other person gets to.
If I may, I mean, I introduced new patron Andy that his talent is that he knows all of the tribe names, and you literally made the
he knows the a lot of Survivor trivia.
The bonus round guess the tribe names.
Let's guess the season.
You know what, Rob?
I'm glad
Jordan's
to have an easy
world.
One.
Like, it's not like you didn't know that he was the guest. Like, oh, this is so
bizarre. 100%. I didn't know for the whole week that he was the guest. I mean, look, we've done this game before.
Okay. All right.
This is fair. W. I'm calling it W.
I okay, mean, if you're lying now, I'll be really disappointed.
Yeah, okay. No. All right. Pressure's all right.
Rob, you have to, and also, Kirsten's the wild card here. Kirsten might disagree. So, yeah. And
no,
just,
spoiler
remember,
alert,
are
I'm not going to disagree.
In honor of the Jets getting their second win, I'll go with number 2.
Okay, number 2. And these are just for both of you. These are going to be all odd number seasons because it's this week in Survivor history, and that's how it works.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Number 2, Rob, you get Vinaka.
I'm giving you the season. That was, well, they're all in Fiji. So, I'll say it was, David versus Goliath.
David versus Goliath. Andy, is Rob right or wrong?
He is unfortunately off.
Which one?
Season back in Fiji, Millennials versus Gen X.
That's correct. So can you tell me which? That is correct. What is the David versus Goliath merged tribe name? Let's see if you get that one.
Kalo Kalo.
Okay, so maybe this was not a good game. Game for Rob. Rob, it doesn't matter. You got the first one wrong anyway, so it didn't matter what the game was. You got the first one wrong.
Yeah.
But even for the record, even I knew that one was Millennials versus Gen X.
Okay. All right. Everybody. So
the final score, we have 2-1. Andrew and Kirsten are winners of the quiz.
I guess I'm just a baby that was born yesterday that doesn't know anything about your trivia.
Kirsten, it was great working with you, even though you snubbed my hot takes. We'll move forward. We made a good team this time.
Okay, there were so many hot takes. I can't
be fair. Mine were not good. They were a little too spicy.
Okay.
I had the one about adult diapers, so we'll just...
Yeah. Okay, well, then I'm not apologizing for you not being in the hot take.
Wait, what was the take?
It was that adult diapers should be more common and that they should be putting more money in self-urination technology.
Okay. All right.
Which I don't understand.
I'm with Kirsten. In the bathroom and I'm unable to do so. I think society should advance.
No.
Yeah. It's just a bodily function. You know what I mean? Like, I had a close call even in Manila. I was in traffic for 2 hours. I had to run out to go to the bathroom.
Okay. This sounds like it's more of a you problem than anything else. And I don't think we should rob people of the joy of getting paid to go to the bathroom when they're at work. So
fair.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, Blake mode right now.
Yeah. All right. Well,
this is the thrill of Manila part two.
Oh boy.
Well, thank you, Andy, for leading me to victory.
Now I'm dying to know, what were Andy's other takes, Kirsten?
If you give me a second, I can find them.
We round out the quartet. All right, you give us the rest of Andy's takes. Let me talk about, of course, make sure you want to check out the B&B this weekend with Mike and Liana talking with Mary Holland. And, of course, why Jack lost.
Oh, no.
My takes are pretty bad. I want to preserve some of my reputation.
Why doesn't technology want to cooperate with me right now?
Maybe this is a good omen for Andy. Kirsten can't get the fire open.
I'm kind of made out ahead, honestly.
Kirsten, who's the first survivor you followed on Twitter, Kirsten?
I found his takes, by the way. I'm pretty sure that it was Rob.
It was Rob.
Okay. All right, what's the second best take from Andy?
The second hottest. Adult not diaper second, Andy. Most agreeable.
Yeah.
An 8x8 room and 3 possessions are all the material things you need to live happily.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right.
And then, 8x8 room, the 3 possessions.
And no mention of a toilet in the 8x8 room.
One of those three things is adult diapers or baby diapers. Maybe Andy really is just a baby. And then
They have it pretty well in that department.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say your take on sleep being a burden is horrible.
It's actually okay. We don't need to get into it.
Yeah.
In this
all right.
Podcast.
Okay. We peaked at adult diapers. All right. Andy,
Kirsten, who's the second survivor you followed? Who's the first survivor you followed on Twitter who's not on this podcast right now?
Oh, I have absolutely no idea.
Kelly Wentworth.
Okay. Oh.
Oh, love Kelly.
All right.
Andy,
thank you for
I'm
joining
a humble
us.
Patron. It's been an honor. It's
yes,
been an
Andy,
honor.
Andy, do you want to give out your social media or do you want to be anonymous?
I have a very normal, not crazy Instagram. It's just Andrew D. Rueda That's my last name, R-U-E-D-A, which I think is a handle you would approve of.
Yes, very good.
Although I do have a Jackson Mickey situation going on. Sometimes I'm Andrew. Yeah. Sometimes I'm Andy. I'll figure out a way to get that straight.
Yeah, but you're not ever your last name. So that's...
No.
Yeah.
Too hard to say.
All right. And of course, Kirsten, where can people find you?
On social media, Instagram, Twitter, at Kirsten Said What, on twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What, and doing podcasts over on Kowski Cast. That is Cow with a K. And maybe I'll have to change my last name to Kwiatkowski. I don't know. But until then, it's just Kowski Cast.
Okay, for now, thank you, Kirsten McGinnis, a.k.a. Kirsten McGinnis, and Jordan, and Andy. If you want to get a hold of that Wandoff SoundCloud playlist, head on over to robiswebsite.com/patron, where you can find out more about becoming a part of our patron community, just like Andy. Thank you again so much for listening. We will be back with News AF on Tuesday, I should say. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Who is this homie on my TV? Where have I seen this lad? He's from Long Island, he says, because he's got that nerdy swag. And it's kinda close. If you squint your eyes,
don't you see him
too? He looks just like Sesternino. Oh, oh, Sesternino 2.0. I don't care if there's really no resemblance. Even his wife thinks so. Even his wife thinks so. Hey, hey, Jason's the man.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Way through the sand. Oh, no, what did he miss? Aaron won't even pound his fist. Old Lyro left him in the dark. Just like Rossi in All Stars. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait. They both came in 15th place.
I hear some people think he looks like you.
I've heard that. A handsome guy, certainly.
Would we call him J-Saw Blindernino?
I don't know why you would.
He looks just like Sesternino. Oh, oh, and it was an inside job. Cause they both got voted off the island. Cause of Boston Rob. Cause of Boston Rob.
Because
of Boston Rob.
Because
of Boston Rob.